Last week we started a message called The Good Life, and in part one we talked about losing weight. Has anybody lost any weight this week? Actually, I've lost 3 pounds, and I've worked hard on my diet because I haven't been at the Kramer's. And the reason I say that is because whoever decided what to bring forgot everything about my sermon last week. And I saw bags, I mean literally, grocery sack bags full of cookies. Cookies. Yeah, comfort food. I spoke against it so strongly last week, and I hear nobody hears my messages anymore. They did share. Yeah. The truth is, yeah. Listen, we're up at the hospital, and we got hungry in the middle of the night, so we sent kids out for cheeseburgers. And they come back with McDonald's double cheeseburgers, so we're scarfing those down. The next day, you know, it's about halfway through the day, we're getting pretty hungry, and we're over in this one little room, and Cindy says, you know what sounds good? Pizza. I said, did you hear anything I said last week? And while I'm talking, she picks up her phone and orders pizza to be delivered to the hospital. And talking about comfort food, that was pretty good at the time, wasn't it? Well, the good thing about the Lord is we can all start over every week, can't we? His mercies are new every morning. But we talked a little bit last week from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we began to look at the good life and what God has planned for us. I believe that God wants us to prosper. I believe He wants us to prosper and do well in this life. And it's not God's intention that His kids be without. The Bible says He's the righteous will never beg for bread, because they're going to be taken care of by the one and only provider of all things. But there's a direct connection between prosperity physically, financially, and in those ways, and the way we're really progressing in our walk in the Spirit, our walk it with the Lord. And people sometimes will come and they'll say, I want to prosper. I want you to pray that I'll prosper. And I want to say, what are you doing with Jesus? Because the truth is that you cannot believe that you could possibly, if you've read the scripture at all, you cannot believe that you could prosper financially if not first you're prospering with your walk with the Lord. Because they are one and the same and are connected. Now in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 it says, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept when you think of what He has done for you. Is this too much to ask? So we talked last week a little bit about that, about how is this too much to ask? That after all that God has done for us, wouldn't it be just really fitting that we would present to Him back our bodies as a living sacrifice? He wants us to be alive, and He wants us to grow, and He wants us to be healthy. And so we must do things to make that happen by eating properly, resting properly, and doing the kinds of things that will help us grow in our walk with the Lord, as well as decrease in certain areas of the old body. And how many of you would like to do a little bit of that? I mean, I think, you know, I always get a kick out of it anytime I talk to somebody about something like this. And even the people that you would look at and say, you could, if you lost one more pound, you'd blow away. They still want to lose. I mean, everybody wants their body to be the way they think it ought to be. And it's amazing to me that over the years in counseling and caring for people, that I've talked to some really incredibly good-looking people, men and women, who are just physique-wise, they just look good. And Steve DeMarco was raising his hand, so as though I was talking about him. Just teasing Steve. And, I mean, good-looking girls, I think you think are model material, ready to step on the runway right now, and they still will say to me, there's something I don't like about me. Because every one of us are in the making. We're all becoming. And so God first wants us to learn. And Paul says, I plead with you, I beg you, I urge you, present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. The Bible says you were bought at a price, so therefore glorify God with your body. The Bible says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know? Don't you realize that the very God of the universe has taken up residence in you, and your temple represents him? And so may we all do those things that we need to do to get our bodies in shape and be more healthy. Now, I'm talking about all this, and yesterday I was talking to Mary Beth, and I said, how you doing? Are you feeling okay? And she said, yeah, just it's growing. And so right while we're talking about all this, she's just coming out there. There's going to be babies around here to hug on and enjoy here before too long. So we're excited about that. Now let's talk about this second verse, because it's very, very important. And this is the theme of our service today. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't be a copycat. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Now, I love this passage of Scripture. It's a very well-known passage, and it has a lot to do with our walk in the Spirit, but it also has a lot to do with our daily routines and how we live our life each and every day. And so today we're going to talk about not copying the behavior and the customs of this world. And if you're taking notes on the little page that was sent, handed out to you, then you can fill in those blanks. Don't copy the behavior of this world. Don't copy its customs. Now, that's very difficult to do, because I have to admit that in this world, it's very easy to fall into the trap that Caleb's drama was trying to show us today. We see somebody on TV, we see somebody in the movies, and instantly we have this kind of idea that we should begin to pattern our life after them. Now, we won't say that. We wouldn't be so bold as what Caleb put on the screen today, and obviously we wouldn't be so bold as to wear that other thing he wore. But the truth is that we wouldn't be so bold as to say, I'm like Zoolander, or I'm like I can play basketball like Michael Jordan, we're not so bold as to maybe do that, but somewhere down in the thinking of our mind, we have tendencies sometimes to begin to pattern our life and thinking about that, because it occupies much of our thinking. I mean, there's not a person in here that probably hasn't at some time had some dream of themselves and saw themselves as the hero of every movie. Saw themselves as the singer in every musical. Saw themselves as the star on every National Enquirer. Oh no, that's probably not what you thought of. The truth is that we have dreams and we have hopes and we have purpose, but God says, look, I don't want you to pattern yourself. I don't want you to make yourself a carbon copy of something that's different than me. Now, God says this because it's very important. It goes all the way back to the Ten Commandments. When he says, don't have any other gods before me, and don't make yourself any graven images. Now, of course, we don't engrave, I guess, on our body. But the truth is that sometimes we make our patterns of our life patterned after people of this world. And Paul directly says, you need to be careful with that. Because God's intention is that we would pattern our thinking, our the way we dress, the way we do the things of life, not after this world, but after the Lord. Now, here's how it works. It's real simple, really. I'm not saying that you can't wear the clothes styles of that they sell at at whatever store you shop at. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about hairstyles here. I'm not talking about starting a new clothesline religion that we wear our hair all in glory buns and cut off, you know, with sidewalls and that kind of thing. I'm not suggesting that we somehow start some new fad and have our own line of clothing. The New Beginnings line. What I am suggesting is that it doesn't become your identity. What I am suggesting is that when you put on that $60 pair of jeans, it doesn't become what you are hoping everyone will look at. But that rather you would be willing to put your life out there as a direct application and image of the very person of Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with the $60 pair of jeans if you can afford it. The problem is that when we began to think that all we are is what we wear, we're in trouble. If we think who we are by based upon how our hair is cut, or the way that we talk, or the way that we walk, or the kind of phone that we carry. I don't have mine with me. It's a bad thing too, because I don't have a watch, and that's what I've been using for a watch. So if you get done before I do, just tell me what time it is, all right? The truth is that we you know, I remember when I first got my new phone, I got one of those, what is it called, Kev? Razor phone. And I first got it, I was so proud, I was excited about it, and I just liked it because it was thin. I mean, that's all. I didn't care if it was the famous phone or the latest phone at that time. I just wanted a phone that was thin because I'm challenged here. And so when you wear it on your belt, I wanted something thin that didn't, you know, dig into my side. This wasn't a fashion statement for me. I was thinking about practicality of how to keep from, you know, having gouges in my side from the fat hanging over the edges of the belt. You know what I'm saying? So I bought the phone on that, and I would walk around, I'd open my phone, and people would go, Whoa, you've got a Razor. I remember Gary, when I first got, he come up to me, man, whoa, dude. He said, I want one. And he did. He got one. Gary and I were always a little bit in competition. Steve, you understand what I'm talking about when I say this. Every time I get a new tool or toy, as we called it, Gary would go, man, I was going to get one of those. He'd always give me a hard time about the new tools I got. But our identity can't be wrapped up in externals. Our identity, what we copy, what we become like, has to be wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Anything less than that is going to leave you flat as soon as it's out of style. People in our world, unfortunately, our teenagers are bombarded with the onslaught of this world that says if you're somebody, you'll have this, or you'll have this, or you'll look like this, or you'll dress like this, or you'll wear this hat, or you'll wear these jeans, or you'll get these tennis shoes, or whatever. And the only reason why they do that is so they can jack the price up and rip you off. God never intended for us to look like this world. He said, don't copy it. Don't copy the standards and the kinds of customs of this world. So if you want to buy nice jeans or cool jeans, just buy them because you like them, not because you want to be somebody or want to find your identity in those jeans. You get my point? It's very clear in the scripture, because when you can only see the outside, how can you ever get to the core of life? If everything is focused on the outside, then you'll never get to the core of life, what life is really all about, where life really works. Because all of this is peripheral. And I'm going to tell you, it's fragile. And just like that, we can meet our Maker, and He doesn't care what kind of jeans you're wearing. Don't copy the patterns and the thought patterns and the ideas of this world. In the emerging church movement we have present today, there's a desire within the church to become culturally relevant. And the problem with that is that in some ways, even the church of Jesus collective has tried to become so culturally relevant that something has happened where the church in many cases has started looking like the world. And I tell you right now, before the Lord and before you, this congregation, I will never sacrifice the presence of God for anything cultural or culturally relevant. I will never sacrifice God's presence coming among us to look good or to sound good or to be good. Now, do I want to sound good and everything look good? Yeah, I do. But not for the purpose of looking at me or looking at those who serve. I want everything that we do with to happen with excellence so that we can point right away from ourselves to the one who deserves all praise. Amen? It's kind of quiet in here. I thought that was kind of a cool statement. I want everything that we do and everything that we say and everything that we sound like not to make us look good, but I want it to point away from us to the one who deserves all praise. Amen? When Paul says don't copy the world, he's saying what another translation says, don't be conformed to this world. The idea, this word conformed or copy is a word that it's about this long. But it just simply means don't make yourself a copy. Or another way to say it is don't allow yourself to become a lump of clay that gets thrown on the wheel of this world and formed in and conformed in and pressured into being anything less than what God has ordained for you to be. Now, I've seen it happen so many times. I preach with passion about this because I've watched it happen in the lives of young people. It happens in the lives of adults too, but usually by the time we get to adults and we get back to church, what we find out is we already messed everything up and the only chance is to get to the Lord. But I've dealt with so many young people. There was a young lady that came to our church many years ago now, and she wanted to go to the mission field. She felt like God had called her to go to the mission field. She knew that God had called her to go to the mission field. And so I set her down in my office and I said, listen, young lady, if you believe God's called you to go to the mission field, then you need to date men who want to go to the mission field. If you want to go to the mission field, if that's your call in life, then you need to learn how to pray and get in the word right now. Don't wait till you're going to the mission field because that's too late. And you need to get on your face before the living God and find his direction and purpose for your life. And you be careful who you date. You be careful who you hang out with. You be careful the decisions you make because it will change the course of your life and you must be careful. And I warned her in the name of the Lord with as much grace as I know how. And that young lady, not even a year later, became pregnant outside of marriage. And she had three children eventually as she got married and wound up having three children. And it was years before she got to the mission field. And she could only then go on a short term because she had obligations. And so the very call that she felt God had for her life was changed, and the course was changed because of a decision one day, one time. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't fall for its mess. Don't fall for its message, because it'll leave you short every single time. And you know how I know that? I know it because I've cleaned up the messes that the enemy has created in people's lives who have made wrong choices. And I've spent my life now, actually in May will be 30 years in public ministry for me after Bible college. And I've spent 30 years trying to help people's lives get them back on track. And had they only walked in his way at first, they could have sidetracked a whole lot of issues that they had to face. And I want to say to each of you today, your day starts today to begin to not be conformed or patterned after this world. Don't become a carbon copy of this world. My dad has been teaching me over the years how to refinish furniture. And this recently, he gave me his lathe. Now, anybody know how to use a lathe? Good. Clark, I need some help, because my lathe doesn't work just right. But my dad gave me his lathe. And I need a little electrical thing fixed up. But anyway, now this is one of those kind of lays where you know, you put the piece of wood on there, it turns and turns, and you try to pattern, you try to make something out of it. Now, here's the thing about my dad. My dad was given all these really fancy lathe tools. You know, Clark, those ones with the big handles, you know, all those fancy little grooves and all that stuff. And so when he was going to give me his lathe, I said, well, Dad, these tools, how long have you had these tools? He said, oh, I've had them a long time. I said, they don't look like they've ever been used. He said, they haven't. I said, so what do you use? And he pulls out this little screwdriver that he's gotten on the grinder and made in some fashion like he wants to. And that's what he uses to turn the wood. And he can take, he could take a leg like from a table or something, set it up there on the workbench, and then he could just watch it, just look at it. And as he would go down through that wood, he could just form that leg just like that one right there. Now, he did that by hand. But there are actually machines that you can set a little guide on, and as it follows the pattern of that wood, it grinds into this piece of wood and makes this leg just like that leg just by following the pattern. And that's the image that Paul's trying to create here. He said, look, don't become a carbon copy. Don't let somebody stick you on a lathe and put a guide on there and just make you like everybody else. Don't do it. Don't let it happen to you. Don't fall into that trap, because it'll leave you empty and it'll leave you cold. And Paul says, don't do it. Now, the word that comes, this Greek word for copy or conformed, we get our English word schematic from it. Now, I don't know what that means, except for I know that they have these electrical schematics and they have these things that if you follow all this stuff around, then you'll know how something's put together. Now, I could show you kind of one, because I don't know where he's at, probably back in the nursery today, but Johnny has created all of our, our computer stuff around here. And if you go in the office, you find this white notebook, and it is a schematic. It is a replica of all of our computer layout. And in there, you can, if you want to learn how to make a CD label, you just open it up, the CD labels, and follow the directions, and you'll make a CD label. Or anything else. It's just a pattern. It's a schematic. It's the wiring of how things work. And the Bible says, don't become wired like the world. Don't become patterned after it. Don't get your wires crossed. I mean, it's easy to do. And so that's kind of the idea of what this passage is about. So he said, in other words, instead of that, let this happen. And I'm going to finish with these 3 points really quickly. Let God transform you. Allow him to transform you. Now, that sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's a process. When Caleb was playing soccer many years ago, we got this one coach for a little while from, I think he was from Africa. And he was trying to get the boys to lob the ball. You know, I always wanted to coach girls in soccer because girls, they're better soccer players than boys. And the reason why is because girls don't try to kill the ball. Guys, they just want to hit the ball as hard as they can. But if you want to loft the ball, if you're here and you want the ball to go to Caleb, what you have to do is kind of lean back and just pop the ball like that. And it doesn't take power. It takes a touch. And it's the way you hit the ball. It's where you have your toe, and you point your toe where you want the ball to go. There's all these things that you learn in soccer, the way that you kick a ball, the way that you create what you want to do with it. And it's not really, you see those guys out there, if you don't understand soccer, you just think a bunch of guys out there, you know, running around like chickens with their head caught off and wondering what in the world they're doing. But it really does have purpose. And this coach, he was from Africa, and he didn't know English real, real well. And so he kept saying to the boys, just let it go up. Just let it go up. And I'm listening to this guy, and I'm thinking, these boys, they're not getting this. Because they turn to me and they go, let it go up. What do you mean, let it go up? Like the ball has a mind of its own. What he meant was, I want you to relax and just hit the ball right so the ball goes up instead of boom, like it's on fire. And these guys, you know, they'd get over there, and the next thing you know, they're going bang like that, and the ball's going ping like that across the court. And he says, no, let it go up, let it go up. He made it sound so easy, but it's not that easy. And so what I learned from that lesson is that sometimes when we read the scripture, we say, just let God transform you. Well, okay. And it goes really good until God's will intersects with yours. And then you go, I'm not sure I like this. God might require of me something that I don't know how to do, or I don't know what to do with. And so when he says, let God transform you, it just simply means that let him metamorphose you. The word metamorphose is the word that the Greek word, and it's the idea of someone becoming. And so when we come to Christ, we are his new creation. Amen. Whoa. When we come to Christ, we are his new creation. Amen. But we are also becoming, we are metamorphosing, we are becoming like him. We are becoming his creative, the creative person that God has made us to be by his creative force. And so I challenge you today, let God transform you. Let him change you. Let him work in you and transform you, or to change you into who he wants you to be. Now you can do that, not because it's easy, but because you believe with all your heart that God only wants the best for you. And when you really are convinced of that, you know what happens? Something simple happens. When you are convinced that God only wants his best for you, he will never let you down. He'll never use you or abuse you. When you really believe that, then you come to a place where you say, Lord, here I am, mold me and make me just like you want me to be. If you think that God has bad motives, then it's not too easy to make yourself available. It's amazing to me that people struggle with allowing God to transform them, but we are so easily conformed to this world and its thinking. And the way he does that is by changing the way you think. Now, I'm going to go back for a minute to the weight loss thing we talked about last week and exercise and all that. You know what's a mindset? It's a way you think. And the way God changes us is not just by saying, you should do this. People are waiting for this voice from heaven. And we always think it's low. You should do so and so. Go to Africa. You know, I mean, we've got this idea of God's voice. But the truth is that God's voice is always consistent with his word. And so if you want to know what God's saying, read his word. And then when you read his word, then God has this incredible way of like putting these spotlights on his word right in the right place, right at the right time. And you go, that's what I want. I want to be like that. I want that to happen in my life. Because God has a growth plan for you. And it's all wrapped up in here, led by the power of the Spirit. And one day you'll be reading the scripture and you go, bam! That's it right there. Because the Holy Spirit enlightens or brings to light something that he wanted to establish in you. And when you allow him to do it, then you'll begin to do what the last point is. And that is, you'll know the will of God for your life. And I want you to know that you will know God's will in a powerful way. Now in this passage in Romans chapter 12, it says that the will of God has three qualities. Three basic, fundamental qualities. It's good, it's acceptable, and it's pleasing. Those are not three wills of God. There's one will of God, and it has those qualities to it. Those are adjectives that describe God's will. And so if you want to experience God's will, you must be convinced that it's good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, you're going to like it. Now, if you ever had somebody come up to you and force their will on you, say, you're going to do this, you. Like all the kids said, like my parents. Yeah, it's kind of like that. When you've had somebody come and just force their will on you, then you're going to rebel. But when we get convinced that God's will is good and pleasing and perfect, it's going to be good for you. It's going to be pleasing to you, and it's going to be perfectly matched for you. Then you can stop and you can trust in Him, and you can finally say, Lord, pattern me any way you want me to be. I don't want to look like this world. I don't want to pattern myself after something that's going to let me down. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman, created in your image and in your likeness. I want to be like you, and nothing else will ever suffice for me. Because, you know, in the end of it all, I want God's will for my life, because I'm convinced that it's good and it's pleasing. And it's perfect. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we've had a lot to do in this service today. We've had a lot of elements, a lot of things that have taken a lot of time. But here we are, Lord, at the very end of our time together. Going just a few more minutes to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for you are worthy. But Lord, I ask you to take this very well-known passage, the scripture that we know from a long time, most of us, we've known it, and make it come alive in our heart, that we would no longer allow ourselves to look like and be a copy of this world, but that we would allow you to transform us, change us into your likeness and image. And then we can know your will, O God, that will that's good, it's pleasing, and perfect. Father, I pray that you help each of us as your disciples to choose the most important call of all, and that is to follow you and to be your child. And that no matter what we face, we can make it because you're with us. In Jesus' name. You know, about this date, actually, February the 4th, 1980, I'd been pastoring in Okmulgee for less than a year. I was a young guy in my 20s. I was following the Lord, doing everything I could for God. And on this date, 1980, the church building that where I was pastoring burned to the ground. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to go from there. As a young guy, I didn't have a clue about life. And I said to the Lord this. I said, Lord, I promised you that I'd follow you all the days of my life. And I'd do what you wanted me to do. I'd go where you wanted me to go. I'd be what you want me to be. I'd say what you want me to say. And I said, Lord, I'll do that. But I didn't have this in mind when I said that. As the building sat in ashes and had fallen into the basement, the only thing we had left was a few $100 that was from the offering the day before. But I promised the Lord that day, I said, Lord, if you'll help me through this, there'll never be another thing that I'll ever experience that I'll doubt you with. But I'll trust you when I go through the hard times of ministry and life. I'll follow you. This morning, as I was driving to the church building, it's coming down 149th Street, and I was looking over this direction, and sure enough, I saw what looked like flames and smoke And it looked like from where I was, it was right here, right in line with our church building. And I said, Lord, that wouldn't be funny. But if that was your choice, I'll follow you. Sure enough, obviously it wasn't. Wasn't this building, wasn't, I don't know what was on fire, but something was. And that day, many years ago, I felt like my life was in ashes. But I'll tell you what, I want to say to you, the God who started me on this journey will help me through it every step of the way. And he's the same God that's helped you with your journey and will help you every step of your way. If you'll only say, God, I want to only be conformed to who you are, transformed by your power. And I want your will for my life.